Silly Beagle Productions presents Physics in Action, a podcast which shows physics in our everyday world, reaching beyond the scope of the standard textbook.
Each episode brings you applications and analysis of physics in such diverse settings as sports, movies, video games, and television.
We also take a look into the frontiers of physics exploration.
And don't forget, interviews with exciting personalities on the leading edge of physics, innovation, and application.
So join us for our trip into the fantastic world of physics, and don't forget, you can always check out our website at physicsinaction.com.
What's up, nerds? This is Professor Jim Kekalias from the University of Minnesota. I'm the author of The Physics of Superheroes, I was the science consultant for the Watchmen film, and you're listening to Science in Action.
What up, everybody, and welcome to Physics in Action podcast. I'm Eileen.
And I'm Brianna.
And
we're thrilled that you could join us today and take a look at physics in the world around us.
In today's episode, Jake will show us how time travel is possible.
And we'll hear Justice take on the noetic science, a highly debated topic featured as part of Dan Brown's latest bestseller, The Lost Symbol.
Now, let's take a look at time travel with Jake.
Hello and welcome to a specially requested episode of the Physics in Action podcast. Our proud listener Mark Johnson inquired as to time travel and how possible it would be to travel through time and all over the place and it mess with history and the future and other things like that. Now, I'm drawing again from my book, Physics of the Impossible. Michio Kaku is the author. It's really interesting, actually. He doesn't get too heavy, but it's understandable. And the first thing he starts this chapter off is an example that I'm going to read to you, which raises most of the questions about going back in time and forward in time that you might encounter. In the novel Janus Equation, writer G. Spruill explored one of the harrowing problems with time travel. In this tale, a brilliant mathematician whose goal is to discover the secret of time travel meets a strange, beautiful woman, and they become lovers, although he knows nothing about her past. He becomes intrigued about finding her true identity. Eventually, he discovers that she once had plastic surgery to change her features, and that she had a sex change operation. Finally, he discovers that she is actually a time traveler from the future, and she is actually himself from the future. And one is left wondering what would have happened if they'd had a child. And if this child went back into the past to grow up to become that mathematician in the beginning of the story, is it possible for that mathematician to be his own father and mother and son or daughter? So see, that's the main mystery that we as people traveling through time would have to encounter. Now, the first thing, which is not really a huge part of, you know, us traveling through time, but is God bound by the laws of time? Does God have to rush to an appointment? And St. Augustine concluded way back in the day that God is not bound by the laws of time. And I understand that, you know, we're not really supposed to be a religious organization or anything, but I thought that was an interesting question. I mean, more than once in physics, we tend to find that things somehow can't happen, so we leave them just kind of outside the laws that we already know. So, the progression of time, like, as people understood it, began with, like, Newton, who thought time was constant throughout the universe. A second here is a second on Mars is a second anywhere else. I mean, that's just, you know, it's very intuitive. Things stay the same. And then when Einstein published his theory of relativity, we learned that a second is not the same on the other side of the universe. Second, time is relative, as, you know, everything would say. But time still only moves forward if you're traveling below the speed of light. So, time travel forward by Newton's theory of relativity is definitely possible. I mean, if you travel near the speed of light, time slows down for you, so that when you come back to a relatively normal speed and you step back on Earth, even though 1 minute may have passed for you, it could have been 4 years on Earth. I mean, we'd have a new president. Many things would have happened that, you know, you advance 4 years in the future, spending only a minute of your time. And, you know, hypothetically, you could just do that for any length of time. I mean, as I covered in the interstellar travel bit of my work here in the Physics in Action podcast, if you travel near light speed, like not even like maybe 75% of the speed of light for 20 years or so, you could travel millions of light years, which is millions of years of time. You know, it's within a couple decades of your time. So that's really, in essence, that's what time traveling forward would be all about. Now, traveling backward is obviously not as easy, and it'll raise a couple problems that I'll talk about later. In Einstein's theory of relativity, there were a couple different ways, possibilities to travel back in time. The first is a closed time-like curve. I'm not exactly sure precisely what that is, but apparently it's some sort of path through space and time where you could return to a journey before you set off on this journey, and that would be pretty awesome. And then if the universe is spinning, then we could travel in a certain direction with or the spin or against the spin. I'm not sure, it didn't quite detail here. And you could again return to where you left off before you left off. I mean, that's just amazing. Think of the time you'd gain. I mean, you'd get older, but you'd be in the past. You could die before you were born. And then another thing on the same principle as the spinning universe is an infinitely long rotating cylinder. If you walked around this infinitely long rotating cylinder, it would be possible to travel back in time. And it's a little bit easier to think of than, you know, because we can't make the universe spin because angular momentum is conserved. And we can't really create a closed time-like curve. But we can, you know, we could build a cylinder. The problem would be that it would have to be infinitely long and it would have to be spinning. So any material that we've got right now would just, you know, break apart, unfortunately. Now, the most attractive idea for traveling through time backwards and forwards would be a wormhole, which is sort of like the center of a black hole. I'm not exactly... I used to think it was when a black hole meets a white hole, but now I'm not so sure. But anyway, the wormhole would connect two points in time and space so that when you travel through the wormhole, you would end up at the other point in time or space. Like, if there was a wormhole where I'm sitting right now, it could connect to this exact same place in space, but maybe a couple thousand years into the future in time. And that's not really the same place, because if you think about it, we do live in a four-dimensional universe. And if you want to tell someone where to go, you also have to tell them when to be there so that you don't miss each other. Because you could tell them 3 o'clock and then say maybe this some road, like say this road I'm looking at right now. But unfortunately, if you don't tell them where on the road, they'll be rather confused. So there are 4 coordinates you need to give someone. X, Y, and Z planes, plus the time, which we're all traveling through right now. Anyway, back to the wormhole idea. There is like a sort of idea of how to make a transversible wormhole. Unfortunately, I'm not exactly, it's just very confusing. So I'm not going to try to explain it to you. But apparently Michio Kaku, the author of Physics of the Impossible, seems to think that it is quite possible to create a, not with our technology now, but by the laws of physics, it is possible to create a transversible wormhole where you could have two points connected in time and space, where if you travel through one, you'd end up at the other. Unfortunately, I mean, you could only go back in time to the time when you build it, so you couldn't go back in time after you to a time before you built this wormhole, because, I mean, it'll be connected to time and space when you made it, but it won't. You can't connect to something that's already been gone. Now, we're almost done here. Now we're going to talk about the paradoxes that might ensue from going back in time. Now, I mean, Stephen Hawking said, if time travel is possible, where are the tourists from the future? And that's a valid point. I mean, we haven't been able to find a law of physics contradicting time travel yet, but it seems reasonable that if we were to find some feasible way of time travel through all space, time, whatever, that we'd have, you know, all sorts of crazy future tourists running around with their cameras trying to take pictures of everything. And we'd have, like, the butterfly effect, sort of, where if you destroy one little piece of anything in the past, the future will be radically different. So, and then here's the kicker. The grandfather paradox. I'm not sure if you listeners have heard this one, but the grandfather paradox wonders what happens if you go back in time and try to kill your parents. Now think about that. Because if you kill your parents in the past, before you were born, then they weren't around to bring you into existence. And so then you wouldn't exist. But then if you didn't exist, who killed your parents? No one killed your parents. So then you exist again. But then you killed your parents again. And then you don't exist again. Now see, that's just a, you know, wild and crazy paradox. And there were three hypothetical resolutions. First, when you go back in time, you would simply follow past history. You would have no free will. You would just do whatever, and you whatever would was written down to happen because it was meant to be that way. If you know the secret of time travel and you go back to the past and tell yourself 50 years ago the secret of time travel, the secret of time travel still came from you, but we don't precisely know where the original idea came from, but it was destiny. It was meant to happen. The second hypothetical idea is that a mysterious force would stop you from, you know, creating any time paradox. You could go back in time, but you wouldn't be able to change anything. Like, you wouldn't be able to kill your own parents. Some force would stop you. You just, you know, if you have a knife, it would just stop right in front of them. The bullets would ricochet. I don't know. But it would not allow you to kill your parents. And that seems pretty convenient, but a little weird. I mean, a question that comes to my mind is, where does the force come from? But, I mean, I'm just a high school student. What do I know? And now the third one, which is tied into the quantum theory and is mentioned in Back to the Future, excellent series of movies, is that the multiple universes would be created. And if that happens, then even if you do kill your parents, they weren't your parents in the same universe. Which is a little weird to think about, because, you know, you kill your parents, but you'd still exist. And the only explanation is you didn't really kill your parents, just someone who's genetically identical to them. And the last flaw in time travel I'm going to talk to you about, and this is about the wormholes again, is that if there were two points in time and space, and radiation entered the one in backwards in time, it would have no choice but to follow a path that would eventually lead it to the one forwards in time. So, there would be an infinite loop of radiation coming in and out of the wormholes that would probably kill you almost immediately. So, unfortunately, that would make a transversible wormhole very difficult to survive. Now, that's all the time I have for you. No pun intended. And I believe my correspondent, Justin, will be along to give you a little more information on time travel. Hopefully you learned something out of this. If you'd like to contact us at Physics in Action, we have a website, physicsinaction.com, or physicsinaction@gmail. I think it's .com. Gmail.com. Yeah, you could email us. Or, you know, check us out on iTunes, give us some feedback, and Thanks for listening.
Well, thanks, Jake. And we'll be right back after a short break.
From the creators of Buffy Between the Lines Studios presents a new masterpiece in audio drama. This fall, in L.A., hell will break loose. The City of Angels cries out for help. Who will answer this call?
Angel Investigations. We help the helpless. What can we do for you?
An original fan production based in Joss Whedon's universe. A vampire with a soul and his fellow champions will face threats as never witnessed before. Get ready for this action-packed podcast that will blow your mind. Angel Between the Lines. Visit us at angelbetweenthelines.com.
Up next, we have Jess with a segment on noetic science. Recently highlighted in Dan Brown's bestseller sequel to The Da Vinci Code, titled The Lost Symbol.
Hey, this is Jess.
And Mike.
With this episode's Physics Frontiers on the topic of noetic science. Dan Brown's book, The Lost Symbol, is bringing more awareness and popularity to noetic science and this field of research.
Noetic sciences use scientific methods to explore consciousness, soul, and spirit within the mind and how it relates to people's surroundings.
In other words, they study how people come to know things or affect things through experiences or capacities that have no apparent rational explanation and what this says about the nature of human consciousness. Examples would be intuitions, PSI, after-death communication, and energy healing.
Noetic sciences are explorations into the nature and potentials of consciousness, using multiple ways of knowing include intuition, feeling, reasons, and the senses.
There are several ways of finding out about the world around us. People usually use objective ways to study the world, but another way is subjective, or what they call internal, including gut feelings, intuition, hunches, or, for example, the way you know you love your family members, or experiences you have that cannot be explained or proven, but feel absolutely real nonetheless. This way of knowing is what we call noetic.
Noetics explores what you can do with your thoughts to change the world, which is explained throughout Dan Brown's book, as one of the characters is a noetic scientist.
Noetic scientists look at how we influence the world through our thoughts on a quantum physics level.
You may have heard of noetic science as a theory that, if enough people think it, it can happen. Now, with this theory in mind, I'm wearing a sick hat right now, and if enough of you think it is sick, the hat will become sick.
You wish your hat was sick. But anyways, thanks for joining us on another episode of Physics Frontiers with Jess.
And Mike.
Information from the Institute of Noetic Sciences.
Thanks, Jess. That's all for this episode of Physics in Action. But make sure to join us on our next episode, a video podcast exploring the physics of rock band, snowboarding, and a musical take of Kepler's Law of Planetary Motion.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear what you think and are interested in learning what you'd like to hear more about. It's really important to hear your feedback.
You can contact us by leaving feedback on our iTunes page by sending us an email at physicsinactionpodcast@gmail.com or by leaving a comment on our website at www.physicsinaction.com.
Special thanks to Jeff Myers and For Me to See for our intro music tech. Music is provided courtesy of Mavio's Music Alley. Check it out at musicmavio.com.